this house, and I'm grateful for what God is doing in their lives and through their lives, because we know that women are made different. They're wired different. I don't know if you know what I mean. There's something distinct about women. A lot of times I do a lot of talking about me here, because like I said before, if I talk about you with the stuff you have told me, you get mad at me, you never talk to me again. But, I've been married for a little bit with my wife. I don't know, how long have we been married? 30-some years. And to this day, I love everything about my wife, because she's made different, if you know what I mean. Like, just hear me out. It's like my wife can come from exercising, and she's been working out for 40 minutes. And I say, come give me a hug. And she say, I'm smelly. But to me, she's not. You know what I'm talking about? I say, no, bring it in, girl. Take the tennis shoes off. The anointing. My eyes turn white, start foaming at the mouth. Come on, somebody. But it's a bit different, if you know what I'm saying. Women are like wired differently. It's like a certain gifting, anointing, calling that is different than the guys. And, you know, I grew up with how many of you heard the story? I grew up with nothing but girls in my house. I never had a father, never had a male figure in my life. I grew up with my sister, with my mother, with my grandmother, and my cousin, Aidita, another girl. So they're all girls. So I can relate to girls differently. And, of course, I can relate to guys, but I cannot, like, play any sports. I cannot play any sports. I can barely change a tire with instructions. But, girl, I can do your eyebrows. I can do your contouring. You're playing with the wrong guy. You're playing with the wrong guy here. So I can't relate. Like, some of the girls in the church, like if you, like, do your nails a little bit, yeah. Right? Oh, man, I like that color. You know? Like, how do you know? Right? So we different. The women are different than the guys, and God has given upon the woman a different anointing, a different gifting, a different calling. And a woman of God, say, I am. If you are, I am a godly mother or a godly father. Okay, there's two of you. Okay, I got you. Book of Proverbs, chapter 31, verse 25 says, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Her children arise and call her blessed. You know, a mother never really, her job is never done. It's 24 hours, 765 days in a year. The mother is always ongoing. They don't have the luxury of certain things in their lives to be optional. When a child needs something, very rarely they say, where's my daddy? Most of the time they say, where's my mommy? If they fall, if they're missing something, if they find themselves in a moment of distress, they say, I want my mama. Can I say that? Can I get an amen? So mothers don't have the luxury of certain things that are optional for the guys. Mothers are, like I say, they're wired different, and God has empowered them and have gifted them with something different than the guys. And today I want to speak to you about the four characteristics of a devoted mom, of a power of a devoted mom, because a mom that is devoted will put their children, they will put them at a different place in life, if you know what I mean. Number one. The power of a devoted mom is seen in her encouragement. Can you say encouragement? Can you turn to your neighbor and say encouragement? The words of a mother are different, man. When your mom says to you, everything is going to be okay, you know everything is going to be okay. You know, I told you, I was a mama's boy. I talked to my mother almost every day of my life. Even when I was in the army, I would call my mom almost daily. And just talk story with her about life. And I was very, very, very blessed with my mom, because even though I never had a father, but my mother put me in a state in life, hear me out, that and just the other day, I was talking to this guy, Ramon Gadea, a good friend of mine that grew up with me. We grew up together. And he, you know, recently we talked to each other on Facebook, you guys know what Facebook is? Some of you need to get a life. That's what you need to do. But, It's a little different. Facebook works. The other day, Concha was posting all that food from her house, from her restaurant. And all of a sudden, I was at the restaurant. Heck, Facebook drug me in there. Hear me out. And I talked to this guy. His name is Ramon. And we talking story. This is some years ago. And he says to me, Miguel, I will never forget you. Because when I met you, my parents were recently divorced. And when I saw you in life, I said, man, it is possible to live a happy life without my father. Think about it. So my mom did a great job loving me and my sister like no one else have. Watch this. And to, every day that passes by, I think about my mother. Every single day I think of her. In fact, I even got her number saved on my phone to this moment. She passed away like 12, 13 years ago. I still got her number saved. Every once in a while, I'm tempted to call that number. But you know I'll freak out if she answers. Drop the phone. Just take off running. But to this day, some of the things that she said to me, because a devoted mother is a mother that encourages, hear me out, that has an opportunity to lift up. But don't underestimate what's in you, mother and father, when it comes to your children. You have the ability to say certain things that will mark your children for a lifetime. And to this day, I remember when my mom will encourage me and will say certain things. Hey, I believe in you, papito. You can do this. Come on, you can get out of this mess. And, you know, you young in life, you make a few mistakes. Can I get an amen? And when you get older, you make a few more. Come on, somebody. And when you get older, you begin to rehearse those mistakes again. Can I get an amen? But she was there to always uplift me. And she had a word of encouragement. Say encouragement. Encouragement means to bring courage into. In other words, when you're not certain about what's next, mama comes and said, I believe in you. You're going to be okay. Stay in the fight. Don't give up. Stand up. You're better than this. Think about it. Say words of encouragement. Come on, encourage your neighbor. Say, I'm going to encourage you today. The Bible says to encourage one another and edify, strengthen, and build up one another. Encourage the timid and faint-hearted. Help them. Help give your support to the weak souls. Everyone needs a word of encouragement. But hear me out. This is so crazy. Words of encouragement are free. They don't cost us anything. They don't cost us anything. So God has called us to encourage each other, to be a person that other people want to be around. Have you ever been around people that they're not so easy to love? Have you ever, what do we call them? Energy vampires. You know what I'm talking about? Like every time you talk to them, you leave the conversation and you like so waste. I'm like, man, I just talked to them for 20 minutes and I feel like I've been working out for 3 days in a row. And you come to them all encouraged, but they energy vampires. They go, they suck the energy out of you. Hear me out. God has called you to be an encourager. Say, I am an encourager. Imagine that every word that you spoke every single day of your life were words of encouragement. You begin to create an atmosphere around you. People want to be around you because every time they speak with you, they feel better about themselves. That's what the Bible says here. Encourage one another, edify and strengthen each other. That's what God has called us to do. Not only to the mothers, but every single one of us. The Bible says, anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word, come on, say a kind word, cheers him up. In other words, words that says, hey, you can do this. Hey, I got your back. Hey, I was sharing this story in the other service some years ago. Can you say some years ago? Can you say some years ago? We went through a difficult time in the church, man. Perhaps the most difficult time we have ever had in our church. And I remember, man, it was like bugging me down, to be honest with you. And I was like kind of, man, it was so difficult. And I remember one day that Liz De La Mora sent me a text. In the middle of the trial, she sent me a text. A lady from the church, today's her birthday. A dear lady from the church sent me a text. Watch the text. She did not say, Pastor, I heard what's going on. She didn't say that. Oh, Pastor, I hope I'm praying for you. Thoughts and prayers. She didn't say that. Guess what she says? Pastor, I got your back. Man, when I read that, tears came out of my eyes and I said, you know what? There's still people that got my back. Come on, somebody. That's what a mother and a father, we've been called to what? To encourage our children. Never speak negativity over the children. Never allow the drama and trauma of your life to be spilled into them. I'm hooking somebody up. Never allow it. Hey, you got to protect your children. If I'm having financial issues, God forbid that I bug my kids down with that drama because they got their own issues. I gotta shield them. I gotta protect them. I say, Papito, everything is gonna be okay. I know we cannot buy it at Macy's. Come on, somebody, but we can go to Santa Barbara Swap and get it. We have to be encouragers. Can you say I am? Come on, 13. Never say you are an encourager. Number two, the power of a devoted mom is seen in her prayer life. The Bible says in the book of James, in the book of James chapter 5, verse 16, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Hear me out. The key to prayer is this. I'm hooking you up for free. No charging you for this one. The key to prayer is to continue on and on and on and on and on, and when you feel you get into the end, you continue on and on and on. Jesus said, knock and somebody will answer. He says, knock and somebody will answer. You know, and God, you know, I just say that it's hard for me in a sense to get discouraged. Here we are. When I first saw my wife and I wanted to date her, right? But I'm very, at the beginning, she didn't want me, but I'm very persistent. And I said, hey, how come she didn't want me? She said, oh, you're too good looking, she said. Yeah. You're too skinny, she said, okay. I said, baby, I'll do whatever for you. I'll gain some weight if I have to. I'll lose some hair. Come on, somebody. Whatever I need to do in order to win your heart. I know some of you are taking notes. Come on, somebody. Here we are. Persistent. Prayer is all about being what? Persistent. 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 In August, I was coming back from Hawaii. And God gave me a word, man. And I was in the plane. God gave me that word about knocking and answering. Here you go. And God gave me a word in the airplane. I was in the plane. Luisa. And God says to me, because we believe in God to have a building. We're not going to be here forever. We trust in God. I don't know how, but God is going to make a way when there's no way. Right? So God gives me this word in the plane. Simple word. Sometimes people make God so complex, you know. Sometimes I read some articles, you know, about Christian authors or whatever. And after I read the whole page, I'm like, what is this? What the heck is this guy talking about? Because they make things so complicated. The word that God gave me was knock and somebody will answer. And guess what I did? When I came back, I just started knocking on doors. And I just started calling different people. And I even went to a church. And I told the pastor of the church, why don't you just give me this building? He says, what church you in? I'm with. I said, Word of Life. And as he says, put it down, brother. cheese. It's a choke. Some of you are like, wait a minute. Don't get crazy. Don't get crazy. Not in this house. Come on, say, not in this house. Hear me out. So what am I doing? I'm knocking. When am I going to stop knocking? Until we get the building. I just keep knocking, and some people tell me no, and I say, it's okay. And I keep knocking, and some people tell me no, and I say, what? It's okay. I just keep knocking because I know if I knock, somebody eventually will answer. I'm not going to allow the newspaper or the economy or the prices that I see determine my faith. No, my faith is in the invisible power of God that goes above all that. So what is my responsibility? Just knock. And knock. Come on, 13, everybody say knock. Keep knocking. Come on, tell them, keep knocking. Keep asking. Keep inquiring. Keep going. Eventually, somebody will open the door. Come on, give the Lord a big hand clap. If you believe it, give the Lord a big hand clap. Number three. Guys, this is like number three. The power of a devoted mother is seen in her example. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, it says, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. God has called me and you to live a life that is transparent. Hear me out. And you want to live a life of conquest as a believer because you got people around you that are watching. Have you ever been on the job and you say something or you do something and somebody says to you, oh, I thought you were a Christian? Every once in a while, I meet someone in public and I said, hey, we talk story or whatever. And they said, huh, how do you know him? From church. Oh, he goes to church? People are watching. This is not optional. God says your life must be an example to your children, to family members, to those around you. Everybody's watching you. To some people, you're the only Christ they will ever see. And number four, say number four. The power of a devoted mom is seen in her love and forgiveness. The Bible says in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, bear with each other. Please forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love. You know, the crazy thing about God is that the Bible says so much about God. But the Bible only says that God is only one thing. Do you know that? God is not hope. God is not faith. God is not even forgiveness. God is love. And for a person to truly forgive, it must be from a heart that is established in the heart of the Father. Love is an action of endless forgiveness. That pure love comes from the essence of who God is. Which reminds me of a movie called The Three Seasons. It's an indie movie. It's not well known. The movie takes place in Vietnam. Have you ever seen like a movie that has a story within the story and then another story? You know what I'm talking about? In the movie, there's a couple. Talk about pure love. And his name is Hai, and her name is Lan. Hai is one of them. Remember, Vietnam is a country that's been torn by war. Sometimes we speak about these things that we think we know. We have no clue. We have no idea what that is. You know, my sister was in Puerto Rico during the Hurricane Maria that happened a couple years ago. And my sister said to me, it just flips your life inside out in a fraction of a second. The things of life, like she said, I will spend 3 or 4 days just looking for gas. Forget work. Forget everything. There's no power in my house. I'm just looking for gasoline for my car. I will spend 3 or 4 days just looking for water. The basic necessities turns, you know, when a country goes to war, everything changes. Every sphere of society changes. So here's Lan and Hai. Hai is a driver of one of them tricycles that you get to a couple people in the back. You know what I'm talking about in those countries. Huh? And she's a prostitute. She doesn't want to be a prostitute. She wants to get out of that. But somehow she's trapped into this thing. And one day, she has a mishap with one of her clients. And she runs out of the fancy hotel into the streets. And Hai is there. And he puts it in the little tricycle. And he, you know, they pedal away. And they develop a friendship. They become good friends. She used to go to all the fancy hotels. Was never able to spend the night, if you know what I mean. They develop a friendship. He falls in love with her, but she doesn't want him. Because in her mind, she's tainted. He's too good for her. But he continues to pursue her with pure love. And one day, there's a race, and he competes in the race in the little tricycle. Wins. And with that money, goes to her to buy some of her time. And he takes her into one of the fancy hotels. And when she's getting ready, he says, no. He just watched her while she sleeps. paid the price so he can have her time. And because he loved her with a pure heart, he just watched her while she sleeps. In the morning she wakes up, he realizes that he's gone. There's breakfast on the table for her. And her dream was to one night wake up in one of the fancy hotels that she used to go work. Which reminds me of the story of a God that loved you so much that he sent his son to pay the price so he can spend bow your heads and close your eyes. No one is looking around. I feel the love of God in this place. The presence of heaven. For every head bowed, every eye closed. You have heard this many times. I pray that today God gives you new ears. That is that God loves you. God is in love with you. God loves you where you're at. You don't have to change for him. He loves you exactly. Of heaven. I want to receive that love. Anybody else? Maybe you're here today and you used to serve God. Maybe there was a time when your heart and the heart of the Father were connected. You made some choices that were not the best. And today you find yourself disconnected. It's not too late. God has preordained your steps. He wants to have a relationship with you. And today he's asking you, will you open the door of your heart again? Is that you? You say, Pastor, I used to serve him, but I got distracted. But today, I want to come home. Is that you? Would you just raise your one hand towards heaven so we can pray? God bless you, ma'am. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Anyone else? You say, today I surrender. For 2 seconds and we're almost done. Thank you so much for raising your hand. The moment I'm going to ask you, perhaps this is the first time you've ever done this, or maybe you've done it several times. It's okay. The moment I'm going to ask you to grab your personal belongings and to come stand here with me, I'm not going to have you turn around, speak to the church, interview you, nothing like that. The only thing I'm going to do is shake your hand, pray for you, introduce you to a friend, and give you a gift. That's all I'm going to do. So will you be so kind, if you raise your hand today, will you please grab your personal belongings and come stand here with me? Come on, church, help them out. Come, 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 church, help them out. Come on, church, help them out. Come, 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 come. Come, 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 come.